Sponsorship for Marketing Voices is provided by Intel, the world leader in silicon innovation, and WebEx, the global leader in on-demand collaborative applications.
This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones. Welcome to Marketing Voices. Today I have with me Sharon Weinbar, who's Managing Director at Scale Venture Partners, and she is back by popular demand. I talked with Sharon about a year and a half ago, and her podcast continues to be one of the most highly downloaded on Marketing Voices. And Scale is a leading venture capital firm based in Foster City, California. And Sharon is the essentially the person who is really overseeing all the investments in these new media companies for Scale. So she'll tell us a little bit about some of her companies. And first of all, Sharon, then welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thank you, Jennifer.
So as a venture capitalist who's really followed new media for years, what trends are you seeing that are affecting your investment strategy?
You know, probably the biggest trend that is, you know, making life interesting and a little bit difficult as an investor is that there are just an incredible number of new startups, and especially new startups in the internet and media space. If you look at the number of new company financings in the internet space over the last 3 years, it's doubled every year on year, and taken an enormous amount of share of the total number of software deals done. So trying to keep up with all these new startups and trying to figure out which ones are interesting and which ones are evolutionary dead ends is a fun but hard job.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So what trends are you really seeing that are affecting your strategy?
Well, I think the thing that we talked about last time, which is still persisting, is people trying to overlay a social aspect to many different kinds of new vertical areas of interest. So, you know, taking social networking and applying it to lots of different kinds of categories. I mean, you know, what did we just see today, I think, announced? Or I just got a deal over the transom last night. Social networking around trivia. Social networking for, what was the other weird one? I don't remember right now. And then here's a whole other one you and I haven't talked about, but this whole virtual worlds, and it's kind of very topical this week because the virtual worlds conference is this week, and I'm actually speaking at it tomorrow. But, you know, I got a deal, again, over the transom last night, virtual world for work, and this company does a virtual world for small and medium-sized business to conduct business meetings in a virtual world. That was a new one for me.
Yeah, I don't know. We always debate how valuable that is. So what do you think is the hottest new media company today and why?
Yeah, well, you know, so this is a kind of a gimme answer because it's, you know, this isn't a proprietary insight, but it is just fascinating to watch Facebook and the valuations that are bandied about for the company. You know, I mean, I keep hearing $10 billion, but I read something in the press today that was saying $15 to $18 billion, and it's been fairly widely reported. I haven't seen the numbers, so I'm not telling tales out of school, but it's been fairly widely reported that the company's doing $140 to $150 million in revenue this year, profitable, maybe making $30 million of EBITDA. So $10 billion would be difficult to justify. I don't know how people get to 15 or 18. But the real reason why the company is exciting is because both the user growth, so they're adding about 150,000 new users per day, but then the incredible intensity with which people use it. So across all the top 10,000 websites last year, the average number of page views per unique visitor, so when a visitor goes to a website, the average number of pages viewed during a session is over the course of a month, is 18. But on Facebook, it's nearly 1,000. And the average number of minutes that a unique visitor spends on a site across the web is 10, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
But on Facebook, it's nearly 200 minutes a month.
Wow.
So people are very deeply engaged with the site, which freaks out a bunch of other big media companies because, you know, kind of share of time is being spent in Facebook. And you're seeing that, and MySpace, by the way, but Facebook is interesting because the differential traction in growth in the user base is so extreme. but it's taking share away from everything that people are doing other places on the web. So you saw this year, you know, MySpace, I think, became one of the top four search origination sites. So meaning, you know, the number one is Google, number two is Yahoo, then you've got, you know, traditionally Microsoft and then Ask.com, and now all of a sudden you've got MySpace in there, and MySpace, the search is being served by Google. But, you know, when all of a sudden you have another a site that jumps up way into that category, it just, you know, it provides a lot of potential for disruption.
So now are you on Facebook?
I do have a page on Facebook.
And so are you accepting people that are listening to this podcast as friends, or what is your friending strategy on Facebook?
I would say I have the fewest friends on Facebook relative to my other pages. So I'm 45, I'm not ashamed to say it, and I'm of the generation, you know, that is email generation, so I don't spend a lot of time running my life from Facebook. And I accept emails. Of course, you know, email is an open system. I accept emails from, you know, all comers, and I have interesting deals come in to me, you know, over what I call over the transom. People email me, Sharon@scalevp.com. It's public. It's on our website. But places where I have more of a personal representation, I guess I just have a more private attitude toward friending. So, for example, my MySpace page is actually private. You can't get to it unless I invite you to come. And there, I'm linked actually to my teenage daughter and her friends, and other friends. And it's a much more closed environment for me.
That's very impressive, because I tried to Facebook my friend, my son, who's 18, and he would not friend me on Facebook. So,
well, it was a condition of my daughter keeping her page was that she would link to mine. And that she would make her friends link to mine on MySpace. So that was a negotiated solution.
So jumping back to this investing in what you're doing, given that that's what you do 24/7, where aren't you investing today as it relates to sort of this social media, new media space?
There's lots of different ways to look at where not to invest, because that's actually one of the biggest decisions you have to make, is what to cut out and what to cut in. And especially for our firm, because our firm tends to be very focused in a handful of key categories. So let me say first, within the software team here, we really focus on four big themes, which are software as a service, internet marketing, digital media, and high velocity IT, meaning software that's sold to businesses but kind of a high volume, low price. So we follow those big four themes, and if a company comes to us that's not pursuing one of those big themes or business strategies, we tend to not even take a meeting because we want things where our expertise is reinforced and then the value add when you join the board is reinforced. So we stick on those four themes, and you could be, you know, the most interesting, you know, new platform, RFID, something strategic, and we'll just say, usually we say, no, I want to spend my time concentrating on these things.
Okay, so go to where in new media you don't invest at this point.
Yeah, I think I've seen in the last 6 months a ton of really niche social things. So, and this is, you know, so one of the big trends is, everybody wants to do something social, and the big open things, Facebook, MySpace, are, you know, we have some clear dominant winners, and then so people are now going to these very, very niche things, whether it's you know, niche social networking around, you know, automobiles, watches, mothers groups, things like that, that where it's difficult, where both the size of the market opportunity and the rate at which you can monetize something is too small to build a business, right? So we're looking for things. I'm interested in building companies, even if we're investing at a relatively early stage, so kind of a, you know, early to mid stage before it's got lots and lots of revenue. But we want to invest in things that can get escape velocity on their own, not things that have to be acquired to be able to make a return on our money. So when I see these small niche social sites, they neither have the user base nor the ability to monetize at a high enough rate to make, say, a $50 million business.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about some of the companies that you've already invested in that are in this space. You just did a recent investment in Waterfront Media. They're obviously a hot company. We'll go into that. Yeah.
Yeah, let me talk about that one because it's kind of it's sort of the orthogonal direction to what we've just been talking about. So we've been talking about sites, you know, the sites Facebook and MySpace that are very, very broad and monetize at a very low rate per page. And Waterfront Media has an internet site that's called EverydayHealth.com. Which is very, very different because it's very focused. So it's health information. It's actually the second largest health portal on the web after WebMD, which is a public company, but bigger than Yahoo Health, bigger than AOL Health. And the thing that's so exciting about this space is it's extraordinarily attractive to advertisers and to end users, and consequently, so I'm not going to disclose information about the private company, but if you look at WebMD and do that same math that I said before, take all the revenue from advertising and divide it by the total number of page views, WebMD monetizes between $56 and $70 per 1,000 pages. So contrast that with MySpace, sub $1, right? So you can be a much smaller site and make very sizable revenue when you're monetizing it, you know, $55 to $70 versus a dollar, right? And it's the kind of information so one of the other key things I look for in media sites is organic sources of traffic. People find you, come to you because you have good content, because the site's well-architected and the content is findable in the search engines, but you're not paying to drive people there. If you're paying to drive people there, the arbitrage on buying clicks on Google to drive people to your site to monetize, even if you're monetizing at a pretty high rate, you don't make a very substantial margin. But health, because there are health is a big source of searches on the web, organic traffic on the web. So you can build a really profitable business in this category, too.
Can I ask you if the entrepreneurs listening to this podcast can reach you at scale, or how would they best reach you?
Absolutely. So I'm just a little old lady from Pasadena. Actually, I'm from Long Beach, California. But please email me, Sharon@scalevp.com. So S-C-A-L-E, letter V, letter P, that stands for Scale Venture Partners. Sharon@scalevp.com.
Well, that's great. So I've been talking to Sharon Weinbar, who's Managing Director at Scale Venture Partners. And for all my listeners, until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.